The hidden things, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the God that you are. And Lord, we're living in a day when so many people are chucking their faith in you and walking away. And I pray, Lord, that would not be us. I pray, Lord, that we would leave this church today believing and trusting in you more than ever before, believing, Lord, that when we cry out, you will hear us and you will answer our prayers. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last September the 28th, Hurricane Ian slammed into the Florida coast, killing over 100 people, flooding thousands and thousands of homes and businesses, and scattering wildlife all over Kingdom Come. And the day after it hit, that picture went viral on the internet showing a huge gator that had gotten washed in somebody's living room. And I don't know who took that picture, but that gator looks really ticked off. And you're thinking, God, these people already been through a hurricane and a storm and hell and high water. You couldn't help them by keeping an alligator out of their house? God, you're not making anything better. You're just making it worse. And how many of us sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon this morning, when we go through storms of life and hell and high water, we think exactly the same thing. One of the questions people ask me all the time, Kevin, why doesn't God help me when I'm in trouble? And the text we have in front of us this morning answers that question. We turn today to Deuteronomy 29:29. In this part of Deuteronomy chapter 29, Moses is saying his last goodbyes to the Israelites right before they enter the promised land. And in our text today, he tells them they're going to have trouble. Some of the trouble they will be able to figure out. Some of the trouble they won't be able to figure out. But more than anything else, they have got to keep believing that God will help them in times of trouble no matter what. Or their faith in God, which is the most important thing they have, is going to be toast. And Christians, the Holy Spirit is telling us today exactly the same thing. Our text this morning, Deuteronomy 29:29, tells us three things that we need to do to keep believing that God will help us when we're in trouble, no matter what. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to keep believing that God will help us, we need to understand what we know. And that's exactly what Moses is saying here in verse 29. Life is divided into two parts. What God has revealed to us in His Word that we can know, and what God has not revealed in His Word that we can't know. I don't know what Kim Kardashian ever saw in Pete Davidson. I don't know why the Chicago Cubs didn't win more World Series with Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. I don't know why Joe Biden hasn't been impeached already. I don't know why Dr. Anthony Fauci isn't in prison by now. The things we don't know. But what God has revealed to us in His Word, we can know and do know. And what God has revealed to us in His Word that we can know is the reason why a lot of the bad stuff happens to us to start with. Last August, I tore the meniscus in my right knee. To go along with the torn meniscus I've got in my left knee. Because over the years, I've eaten enough Moose Tracks ice cream to look like Bullwinkle. How many of us have trouble in our lives because of our own sin? The Bible tells us we got trouble in our lives because we live in a fallen world where sin has screwed up everything so much, nothing in this universe operates like God originally created it to or intended it to. Romans chapter 8, verse 20. So bad stuff just happens. That's why we got things like tornadoes and earthquakes and Hurricane Ians. That's why you got moles in your yard and mice in your house. That's why one out of every eight women in America now get breast cancer, and why one out of every four pregnancies ends in a miscarriage. That's why people get things like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and pancreatic cancer. Bad stuff just happens. Last November, on 395 outside of Spokane, Washington, Charles and Linda Everson were just driving along when all of a sudden a 600-pound cow just falls right out of the sky and crashes on the hood of their minivan. Killed the cow and totaled the vehicle. That'll wake you up in the morning. Because that cow had gotten out of a pasture and fell off a cliff that was overlooking the interstate. Into each one's life, a little cow must fall. Bad stuff just happens. Job chapter 5, verse 7. Man was born for trouble, and that trouble happens to everybody. Hollywood actor Jeff Bridges just went through chemo for lymphoma cancer. Supermodel Bella Hadid has Lyme's disease. Country star Preston Brust has Bell's palsy. Last July the 14th, Donald Trump lost his first wife, and his three oldest kids lost their mom when Ivana Trump died at the age of 73. Stuff happens. Life happens. And it happens to absolutely everybody. Do we see why we need God's help to start with? What we know, what God has revealed to us, is that God does help us. Psalm chapter 4, verse 3, He hears all of our prayers. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, He will never leave us or forsake us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, He really does love us. Loved us so much that 2,000 years ago, He put His only Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to die in our place, to take our sin upon Himself so that we could be saved someday and go to heaven. John chapter 3, verse 16. When Hurricane Ian slammed into Fort Myers, Florida, a 71-year-old man named Stan Pence got washed out of his third-floor apartment and was headed for death in the Gulf of Mexico. But all of a sudden, he reached out and grabbed a hold of a pine tree, a palm tree in the parking lot of that complex. And for the next 3 hours, in all the rain and all the waves and 80 to 90-mile-per-hour winds, he clung to that palm tree. And it was clinging to that tree that saved his life and saved him from death. There's unbelievers sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. There's a storm of judgment coming on us right now. You got to grab a hold of that tree. You got to grab a hold of that old rugged cross, because that is the only thing that's going to save you from death and save you from hell. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall receive saved. That's the most important thing that God has revealed to us. That's the most important thing that you need to know. God hasn't told us everything in the Bible. But what He does tell us is more than enough for us to have a real relationship with Him down here and for us to live happily ever after with Him up there. Do we understand? Do we know what God has revealed to us? Last July, pop singer Rihanna, with her cosmetic company Fenty, became the youngest self-made billionaire in the history of this country at the age of 34. And you're thinking, God, that pagan's already a billionaire. I'm a Christian. I've been slaving away my entire life for peanuts. What's it for? But then Psalm 73, verse 17, when we consider their end, when we consider the destiny of the wicked, we realize all of Rihanna's $1 billion put together can't save her for 1 second out of hell when she dies. Do we see how God helps us in Jesus Christ? Do we see why it's good to know what we know? But the question is this morning, are we going to act on what we know and trust in God? Or are we just going to worry? Because anxiety is pretty good cardio, you know. That word worry comes from the old English word that means to strangle. Can I get a witness? Can anybody relate to that? How many of y'all realize that worrying is a sin? You say, thanks, Kevin. Now I'm going to worry about the fact that I'm worrying too much. Worry doesn't change anything. Prayer does. We're going to act on what we know and turn to God. Kobe Bryant's daughter, Gianna, is now mad at God because her dad died in a helicopter crash back in 2020. But because Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, everybody's dad dies. Rule of life number one, everybody dies and everybody's loved ones are going to die too, of one thing or the other. We know that going in, and until Jesus comes back, that's just the way it is. So grow up and get real. Some people, trouble comes, they just check out. Last September the 2nd, CFO of Bed Bath & Beyond, Gustavo Arnault, 52 years old, took a header out of the 18th floor luxury apartment of the Jenga Towers in New York City because his company was going under and being sued for $1 billion stock fraud. People have that saying, God never gives you any more than you can handle. How many of y'all realize you don't see that anywhere in the Bible? Because the truth is, it's only God that helps you handle whatever it is that you're given. No God, no help, no hope. Do we understand what God has revealed to us in His Word? Do we understand what we need to do when trouble comes? Last September the 28th, Hurricane Ian slammed into the southwest Florida coast with a 20-foot storm surge and 150-mile-an-hour winds. 2 mile an hour shy of a Category 5. A storm so powerful, it just leveled entire city blocks and destroyed thousands and thousands of homes and businesses, especially along the coast, all except that one. A beach house called the Sun Palace near Cape Coral. It's just standing out there all by its lonesome. And you think, how in the world could that beach house still be there while all the other beach houses around it either got swept into the Gulf of Mexico or blown into 25 different states? I'll tell you how. Because when the owners of that house, LeBron Lackey of Cleveland, Tennessee, and Russell King from Chicago, Illinois, built that as a vacation home for their family, they went whole hog and designed it far beyond anything that Florida requires for code. The house was placed on stilts to avoid high storm surge. It was standing on pylons sunk 40 feet in the ground so that they are in turn standing on solid rock. Walls were made of steel reinforced concrete with steel cables running all the way from the pylons through the floor joists, up through the girders and through the rafters, and then anchored down in all four walls to help reinforce and tie the house together. And the roof overhang was purposely very small so that it would be harder for the wind to catch it and rip it off, so that house was built to withstand winds of over 250 miles an hour. And why? Because the owners of that house wanted that house to survive any monster storm that came along. Now, they didn't know exactly when or where that storm was coming. That wasn't revealed to them, but they knew it would come. They didn't know everything, but they knew that. And because of that, they acted on what they knew, and they built their house upon the rock. So when Hurricane Ian came, one of the most powerful storms to ever hit the United States, and blew away hundreds and hundreds of other beach houses like Tinker Toys, that house wasn't going anywhere. People, listen to me. What God reveals to us in His Word is that storms of life and storms of trouble are coming. We've already dealt with a lot of them. More on the way. We don't know exactly when or where those storms are coming. That hasn't been revealed to us. But we do know they will come. We don't know everything, but we know that. So we need to act on what we know too and build our house on the rock, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because whosoever hears His words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. So when the storms came and the rain fell and the wind blew, that house did not fall because it was built upon the rock. And we know that because that is exactly what God has revealed to us in His Word. The first thing that we need to do in order to keep believing that God will help us, we need to understand what we know. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to keep believing that God will help us. We not only need to understand what we know, we also need to trust God for what we don't know. Because there's the revealed things, and then there's the hidden things. Like when you pray your guts out, and the baby dies anyway. And the chemo still doesn't work. And your fiancé breaks it off 6 weeks before the wedding. And your wife leaves you for another woman. And the doctor tells you you're too old for a kidney transplant. And your beautiful son commits suicide. And your world comes to an end. And all you want to do is die and go be with Him. And when you ask God why, He says absolutely nothing. The hidden things. Because this, what this verse is telling us is there are bad things that are going to happen to you and me and the people that we love in this lifetime that we are never going to be able to figure out this side of eternity. And God is under no obligation whatsoever to explain those things to us either. Ever. He's God, we're not. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God sits in heaven and does whatever He pleases. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And everything He does or allows is right. Psalm chapter 19, verse 9. Any questions? The sovereignty of God is a hard lesson to learn. But the question is this morning, are we going to keep trusting? Are we going to keep praying in faith? Because God always does hear our prayers. And God always does answer our prayers. And sometimes the answer is not no. Sometimes it's just not yet. Country star Loretta Lynn died last October the 4th after 70 years in country music. And growing up poor, she always knew that God had called her to be a singer. But every time she'd pray about it, it was never the right time to get her career started. Then she got married. Then she had four babies right away. And then God called her to start her career. And why? This is what Loretta Lynn said. When I got married and started having babies, that made having a singing career even harder. But turned out all the trouble I went through being married and raising little kids gave me all the ideas to write my songs. And that's what all the people liked, and it got me famous. So the Lord sure knew what He was doing by making me wait. There's people listening to this sermon right now. You're asking for the right thing. God's just waiting for the right time. See, God's already prepared the way. Now He's preparing you. You going to trust God for the hidden things? Even when they don't make any sense? Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is a born-again Christian. Called by God to be an NFL quarterback when he was 6 years old. The kid could throw a 40-yard spiral when he was 9. But all along the way, there have been one serious injury after the other. Broken hip in 2019, ended his college football career at Alabama. Week 2 this NFL season, against the Buffalo Bills, he had a serious back injury. Then the very next week, September the 29th, against the Cincinnati Bengals, this happened.
His ability to make adjustments at halftime. To a rolling left with the grain, and down he goes. Slung down at his own 48-yard line. Josh Tupu. And, uh-oh. Well, we saw last week, and he went down, he got up, was wobbly, the training staff comes out.
He's hit so hard he's having a seizure, right there on the turf. But then there you see him in his hospital bed afterwards, and notice what he's doing. What's he doing? He's not cussing God because he got hurt again. He's not freaking out because he thinks his pro football career might be over. He's playing the ukulele and praising the Lord. And why? This is what Tua Tagovailoa said. I committed my life and every part of my life to Jesus Christ a long time ago. So nothing about my life is about me. So even if I don't know why these injuries happen, God does. And how could I be sad? Because I know somehow He's going to use them all for His praise and glory. There's people listening to this sermon right now. The bottom fell out for you too, didn't it? And the question is right now, are you going to run away? Are you going to turn your back on God? Are you going to take your ball and go home? Are you going to forget about Him for the rest of your life? Because I could fill up this church right now 5 times over with the number of Christians I know who have done exactly that. Or are you going to trust that some way, somehow, God still has a plan? You going to trust God for the hidden things? Maybe God is not hearing your prayers. Maybe nothing is changing. Maybe nothing's getting better because you're fine trying to fix that trouble yourself instead of trusting God to do it. Like they are. Ken and Kathy Parent. For years and years, Ken has had these tiny little spots of cancer in his body. And every time one goes away, seems like another one just comes right back. And right now, he's doing some kind of experimental treatment to get rid of the latest one. You say, Kevin, they're both Christians. Why in the world is God allowing that to happen to them? And the only thing I can say is, I don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29, the hidden things belong to God. People freak out when they hear the C word one time. Try hearing it over and over and over and over again. God tells the devil one day, have you noticed my man Ken and his wife Kathy? Blameless and upright, they fear me and shun evil. Ain't they something? Job chapter 2, verse 3. Devil says, yeah, they're all that in a bag of chips. But God will tell you what, you touch his body and you touch his health, they will spit in your eye and they will curse you to your face. Job chapter 2, verse 5. God says, you think so? Because in spite of all the treatments, in spite of all the procedures, in spite of all the tests and all the scans, they're still here. They're still in church on a Sunday morning. They're still worshiping and serving and praising God. You ever want to know what real faith looks like? It's sitting right there. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. They're trusting God for the hidden things. Are we? And I know somebody's hearing this saying, but Kevin, why doesn't God help my family? Why doesn't God stop my spouse from drinking? Why doesn't God stop my husband from using porn? Why doesn't God save my lost kids and turn my gay kids straight? Again, there's people listening to the sermon because you're trying to fix the trouble yourself instead of letting God do it. Because as much as we want to, we cannot change any other living human being. We are not the fourth person of the Trinity. You say, but Kevin, how do you do it then? First of all, you realize that your real identity is not in your marital status or your kid's sexual orientation. That's not a reflection on you. Jesus is a reflection on you. You're a reflection of Him, period. And then you realize your relationship with Jesus Christ is even more important than your relationship with your spouse and your relationship with your kids. Because you are not going to go to heaven because you are a husband or a wife, a father or a mother. You're only going to heaven because you're a follower of Christ. Your relationship with the Lord is more important than your relationship with your spouse and your relationship with your kids. And you show them that so they know it. So God comes first. And what God calls you to do comes first, even before them. End of discussion. And then you realize your spouse's sobriety, your husband overcoming the porn, your kid's salvation is not your job. It's not your responsibility. It's their responsibility. And even though you can't change them, you can change how you respond to them. Because most people will never stop doing bad things until they suffer the consequences from doing those bad things. And as long as your loved ones, your family members can turn to you and you bail them out, they'll never turn to God. So you never stop loving them and you never stop praying for them, but you do not enable them in any way, shape, or form. You hold them accountable. They clean up their own mess. So if your spouse is going to drink, they buy all their own alcohol. They do not drink in front of the kids, and you are not going to call in sick for them anymore when they're hungover. Not again. Never again. And when they're drunk in public and all lit up, you don't make excuses for them. That's on them. It's not on you anymore. You will give your husband all the sex he can handle. You'll wear him out like Jenna Jameson if need be, as long as he is not using porn. But you will not share him with another woman, even in real life or in pictures. Because as a wife, God has not called you to be a sex toy for your husband just so he can use you to get off after looking at porn or going to a strip club. Wives, you draw the line. And I know Christians are hearing this saying, Kevin, a wife owes her husband sex. A wife owes her husband nothing if he's disrespecting her and not loving her like Christ loved the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I know I'm going to get emails about saying that. And if your kids have this fantasy that they're gay, you do not go to their gay wedding, you do not acknowledge their partner as their husband or wife because they're not a real husband or wife, and you do not refer to them by those stupid non-binary pronouns. Because Christians, we do not perpetuate a lie. And if your kids want to cut you out of their life because of it, that's their choice, not yours. And you surrender all the expectations you have ever had for your children. You surrender them to the Lord because they really belong to the Lord even more than they belong to you. And you say, Kevin, we do all that. How do we know God's really going to change it? How do we know that's going to work? How do we know that God's really going to change them? We don't know. We don't know that God will change them. We do know that God can change them. And we do know that God wants them changed even more than you do. That's what you trust in. You going to trust God for the hidden things? You got trouble in your marriage. You got trouble with your spouse. You got trouble with your kids. You going to simply trust God like she did? Last August the 5th, 53-year-old actress Anne Heche crashed her Mini Cooper into a house in Mar Vista, California at 90 miles an hour, caught on fire, and got burned so badly she died in a hospital 6 days later on August the 11th. Just one more heartache for her mom, born-again Christian counselor and activist Nancy Heche, who's been through so much pain and so much sorrow, you would think her maiden name was Job. Nancy Heche grew up a born-again Christian in Indiana, eventually married her husband, Don, who was a worship leader for all kinds of independent fundamentalist Baptist churches in Ohio and New Jersey. And they had five kids together serving the Lord. But then in the late 1970s, Nancy found out that her husband was living a secret life as a gay man with all kinds of same-sex relationships on the side. And in 1983, he died of AIDS. So the man that she considered her pastor and spiritual leader, the man who's supposed to love her more than anybody else in the whole wide world, didn't. And she realized that her entire marriage had been nothing but a lie. You talk about being sucker punched and humiliated. But in spite of that, Nancy Hayes didn't get mad at God. She didn't walk away from God because she went out and got a doctorate in psychology and Christian counseling and started working for Focus on the Family, doing Love One Out conferences, trying to reach homosexuals for Jesus Christ. But the sorrows just kept piling up in her life. Nancy's second daughter, Cynthia, born in August of 1961, died just 2 months later with a heart defect. Her only son, Nathan, born in 1965, was killed in a car accident when he was 18 years old. And that happened in 1983, just 3 months after his dad and Nancy's husband, Don, had died. Her oldest daughter, Susan, who wrote a book about the problems her dad caused in the family, died of brain cancer in 2006. And Susan's husband, Nancy's son-in-law, was killed in a car accident in San Francisco in 2016. Talk about when it rains, it pours. Then after many years of being alone, Nancy finally got married again in 2008. But then 5 years later, that husband died of a heart attack in 2013. And then last August, it was her daughter, Ann. And that hurt most of all. Because Ann Hayes had turned her back on God and was living like hell. And because she was famous for starring in TV shows like Men in Trees and movies like 6 Days, 7 Nights, everybody from TMZ to the Twitterverse aired her dirty laundry. And from the year 1997 to the year 2000, she spit in her mom's eye by living in a lesbian relationship with Ellen DeGeneres. And everybody called them America's first gay super couple. And Ann Hayes had absolutely nothing to do with her mom, Nancy, because Nancy would not say that homosexuality was okay. And Ann Hayes had all kinds of mental problems. And she'd do crazy things like break into people's houses at random and tell them that she was Jesus. And she claimed those mental problems were because her dad had sexually molested her all the while that she was growing up. And she also claimed that her mom knew about it and didn't do anything to stop it, which was an absolute lie. But folks, in spite of all the lies, in spite of all the betrayal, in spite of all the rejection, in spite of all the hurt feelings, in spite of all the humiliation and the embarrassment, Nancy Hayes never stopped loving her daughter, never stopped praying to her, never stopped trying to reach out to her until that day, last August the 5th, when Ann Hayes got high on cocaine and fentanyl, crashed her car into that house, and eventually died. There's parents listening to this sermon right now. You think you got a kid that's tweaking you? You think you got kids that are putting you through hell? You don't know the half of it. In 41 years of ministry, I know that there are two things that hurt people the most. Number one is problems with your spouse, and number two is problems with your kids. Nancy Hayes lost 2 spouses and 4 kids, including 1 to the devil, and a son-in-law on top of it all. But in spite of that, she never got mad at God. She never walked away from God. And today, at age 86, she's still working, she's still doing ministry, and she's still trusting the Lord like nobody's business. This is what Nancy Hayes said. 2 things you have to learn to stay faithful to God when you have problem people in your family. First of all, you can't change them. Only God can. So you just keep giving them to the Lord. And second, you have to realize that no matter what they do, it does not affect who you are in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 39. Nothing in all creation, not even the bad things your family members do to you or how those things hurt you, will ever be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. There are people in your family that you love to the moon and back who are absolutely breaking your heart. And you've got no idea what's going to happen to them. But you know what? God wants them saved and straight and clean and sober even more than you do. And God can do everything you can't to make that happen. So today, right here, right now, you start believing and praying in faith that that is exactly what is going to happen. From what we do know, we can trust God for what we don't know. The second thing we need to do in order to keep believing that God will help us, we need to trust God for what we don't know. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to keep believing that God will help us. We not only need to understand what we know, we not only need to trust God for what we don't know, but third, we need to hope in the future. We need to hope and believe that God is going to help us in the future too. And especially these days, when all kinds of things are causing us to have doubt that God is going to help us at all. Or that He's even helping us right now. Everything from the invasion of the giant Asian spiders to the tomato flu. Terrorists streaming across the wide open southern border. Crime turning our big cities into shooting galleries and war zones. Chinese and Russian warships off the coast of Alaska, scarier than J.B. Pritzker running for president. And we are so sick and tired of hearing bad news, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. But Christians, listen to me. We got to keep hoping. We got to keep believing. We got to keep trusting that help is on the way. And we better keep hoping, because right now, so many things in this country seem absolutely hopeless. Last week, the FBI finally admitted what we knew all along, that they paid Christopher Steele $1 million to say that the Steele dossier was true, because they knew it wasn't, which means the entire basis of the Russian collusion hoax, the whole entire basis for Donald Trump's impeachment was nothing but a lie. And the DOJ was in on it, and the CIA was in on it, and the FBI was in on it, and Joe Biden and Barack Obama were in on it, and Hillary Clinton even bought and paid for the whole thing. There's your real insurrection. There's the real attempt to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Gee, why doesn't the January 6th committee investigate that? The worst political scandal in the history of the world. Today you Google the word riot, you get gazillions of articles about January the 6th and Donald Trump. Absolutely no articles whatsoever about the George Floyd riots that burned American cities to the ground and killed dozens and dozens of innocent cops and civilians. And you know why? Because everybody knows Trump supporters are the only real threats to our democracy. Absolutely hopeless. Last week, during hearings in Brussels, on the European Union's response to COVID-19. Pfizer executive Jeanine Smalls admitted none of the vaccines were ever developed to stop the spread of the virus. None of them. Are you kidding me? People, do you realize what that means? That means the entire basis for all the vaccine mandates and the vaccine passports. And millions of Americans, millions and millions of doctors and nurses and teachers and military people who lost their jobs and got fired because they didn't get vaccinated. And us Christians being treated like lepers and being told that we were murderers and wanted to kill grandma was based on absolutely nothing but a lie. And Big Pharma knew it from day one, and so did the government. People, that's why there's a hell. And we're supposed to keep following the science? We're supposed to keep trusting the science? Are you kidding me? Google has announced they're no longer going to post ads for Christian crisis pregnancy centers. Teen Vogue magazine is now giving minor girls detailed instructions on how to get an abortion without their parents knowing about it. Even in other states. Illinois right now has mobile abortion units, RVs that are outfitted with surgical rooms. And they're going to be driving along the border of Missouri and Kentucky and Tennessee, where abortion has been outlawed or restricted, so women can cross state lines and murder their babies in the land of Lincoln. My God, people, it's drive-by abortions. What do they think of next? Aren't you proud to be in Illinois? Hopeless. Nicholas Cruz murdered 17 students in a high school in Florida in 2018 and gets spared the death penalty. Meanwhile, 2,981 innocent unborn babies who never did anything wrong to anybody get the death penalty every single day in abortion. Mass murderers get a life sentence. Innocent unborn babies get a death sentence. Does anybody see how sick and twisted and demonic that is, or is it just me? Hopeless. People, the only hope we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Last June the 17th, fire broke out at the 100-year-old Balsora Baptist Church, Balsora, Texas. And everything in that church was a total loss except for one thing. Because when it was all said and done, amidst all the ashes and all the ruins, there was one thing left standing, and that was the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that soon and very soon, this entire world is going up in flames with the judgment of God. But there's going to be one thing left standing. Because when it's all said and done, amidst all the ashes and all the ruins, the one left thing left standing will be Jesus Christ and what He did for us at the cross. So people, evil and the devil and leftism and Marxism and progressivism and wokeism is not going to win. Jesus is. And if we cling to the cross of Jesus Christ, God will help us and we will win too. There's your hope for the future. And we know that's going to happen because that's exactly what the Bible tells us is going to happen. Ever since Vladimir Putin and Russia invaded Ukraine back in February, Vladimir Putin has threatened to use nuclear weapons if he has to win that war. And now that Russia's getting its brains beat in and the Ukrainians are taken back one city after the other, Vladimir Putin said this last October the 5th. Russia has various means of destruction more modern than those of all NATO countries combined. And if the territorial integrity of our country is threatened, we will use all means at our disposal to protect Russia and our people. This is not a bluff. So then Joe Biden, a week ago last Thursday, said this, "We have not faced the prospect of Armageddon since Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis. The risk of nuclear war is the highest it's been for 60 years. And everybody and his brother seems to be expecting nuclear war. Because last summer already, New York City started running PSAs telling people what to do when a nuclear missile strikes. And Ukraine has now ordered gazillions of doses of an anti-radiation drug called Nplate, the kind of drug you take when they drop a bomb on your country, a nuclear bomb. And now the Biden administration has ordered $293 million worth of the same drug. Do you think Joe Biden thinks Vladimir Putin is bluffing? And Article 5 of the NATO treaty says if Russia launches a nuke on any NATO country anywhere in Eastern Europe, the United States and all NATO countries have to respond in kind. So grab your ankles. It's Katie bar the door. But Christians, here's why we never have to worry about worldwide nuclear war. Every time things get scary, somebody always throws around that word Armageddon. But the Bible tells us Armageddon does not happen until after the end of the Great Tribulation. First the rapture comes. Jesus takes all of us Christians off of this earth and takes us to heaven. Then there's 7-year tribulation on earth under the Antichrist. And when the 7-year tribulation is over at the end, then Revelation chapter 16, demon spirits gather up all the nations of the world for the final battle of Armageddon in Israel. And all hell breaks loose. And the nuclear missiles are a-flying. And people's flesh rot right on their bodies from all the radiation poisoning and the fallout. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. So what's going on in Ukraine right now is not Armageddon. What's going on in Ukraine right now, the New World Order is trying to destroy the United States by pulling us into World War III. So Christians, we never have to worry about duck and cover. We're never going to have to hunker in a bunker. Because nobody is ever going to destroy this world with all-out nuclear war until Armageddon. And by the time that happens, we're all going to be snug as a bug in a rug in heaven marching around the throne. And besides that, we've got something bigger to worry about. Like that. The picture you see on the screen was taken last February when the Webb telescope left our solar system. And that picture takes your breath away because it shows puny little planet Earth next to the sun a million times bigger. Astronomers tell us the sun is a huge ball of liquid fire, superheated plasma fire, 15 million degrees on the surface. And the solar flares that it shoots out are 10,000 degrees, hot enough to fry an egg on a sidewalk down here 93 million miles away. And there's dinky little planet Earth right next to it. My God, people, what is man and this puny little planet that God is even mindful of us? You ain't just whistling Dixie. Because the danger comes from what's called coronal mass ejections that happen when the magnetic field of the sun starts kinking up and then it shoots out solar flares gazillions of miles into the solar system. Now, no CME has ever hit the Earth directly. But in recorded history, some of them have come close. In 1859, a CME turned the sky all over the world red, and there were billions and billions of lightning strikes, and telephone lines and telegraph wires got fried all over the planet. 1921, a CME set transformer boxes on fire on power poles all over the world. 1989, a CME howled all radio communication all over the planet for almost 12 minutes. 2002, a CME interrupted the internet for the better part of a day all over the world. And none of those were even close enough to be considered near misses. Now, folks, if a CME ever directly did hit the planet Earth, good night, Irene and Chi-Chi Bug, because we're talking the end of life and civilization as we know it. So folks, all God has to do is turn His head and lift His hand of protection. And we're all charcoal briquettes. Joel chapter 2, verse 13, by His mercy, He relents from sending calamity. And you say that God isn't doing anything to help you? Are you kidding me? Because the Bible says one day, in the last days, during the Great Tribulation, a CME is going to hit this earth directly. And how do we know that's true? How do we know what the Bible says is true? Because NASA says exactly the same thing. This is NASA's own description, written in 2017, of what would happen if a coronal mass ejection hit the earth square on. The sun's dense superheated plasma would push away part of the earth's atmosphere, exposing the stratosphere to the 150 below zero temperature of space, and instantly crystallize all the moisture in the stratosphere. And as the massive wave continues to push through the atmosphere, it compresses the ice crystals into huge hail balls. And as the fiery wave continues into the stratosphere, it vaporizes all planes, birds, and flying insects, which eventually causes the strange phenomena of fire, huge hailstones, and blood from all living things killed in the sky to fall on the earth. Before the earth is ignited, killing an estimated one-third of the world's population and burning up one-third of all plant life as well. Thus, such a direct hit by a CME would definitely be not only an end of civilization event, but an end of world event. What does the Bible say is going to happen during the Great Tribulation? Revelation chapter 8. A super scorching sun will cause hail and fire mixed with blood to fall from the sky and kill one-third of the world's population and burn up one-third of the earth along with one-third of all the grass and the trees. What NASA says is exactly what the Bible says. Not only prophesied by Scripture, but proven by science. It's coming, people, just exactly like the Bible says. And you say, Kevin, how do you know that? Because, folks, the universe itself is getting ready and preparing for it. Astronomers tell us that Earth's magnetic field, specifically created by God to shield this planet from the sun, is getting weaker. So a big CME could torch this planet even worse than it ever could before. And get this, the European Space Agency says Earth's magnetic field is 10 times weaker than anybody ever thought before. And astrophysicists in Japan are saying our sun is now at a stage where it can send out solar flares 1,000 times more powerful than any solar flare ever seen before. So you take a huge CME combined with a wimpy magnetic field, you're talking perfect storm, turn out the lights, the party's over. And how do we know that's coming? Because the signs are all there. 10 years ago last July was the super solar storm of 2012, when a massive CME, massive, bigger than anything NASA has ever recorded, crossed Earth's orbital path about 1 week behind us. An astronomer said if that eruption had happened a week earlier, that CME would have hurt planet Earth square on and knocked our civilization back to the 17th century. All electronics, all communication, all telecommunication would have been completely fried. There would be panic, war, starvation, and disease, just exactly like the Bible says is coming. People, don't tell me that what happened in 2012 wasn't just a dry run for what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. It's coming, people. Even astronomy says it's coming. The universe itself getting ready for the Great Tribulation. Here comes the sun, folks, to kill us all. But Christians, here's the good news. We've got a way out of that human barbecue. Because Jesus Christ is going to come and take us off this earth and take us to heaven before the fire down here even starts. And until that time happens, we don't think, we don't hope, we know that the sun is never going to scorch this planet and burn it to a turn. Because Genesis chapter 2 verse 28 says, until the day of the Lord comes, the sun, the moon, day and night, heat and cold will never cease to remain. Look at that picture. Puny little planet Earth, preserved and protected by the miraculous restraining power of God with forces so far beyond our ability to even understand them. By His great love for us, we are not consumed. So tell me again, who's Vladimir Putin? Who is Joe Biden? What is double-digit inflation? Can we just get some perspective here? Because folks, if a God who is so loving and so merciful and so powerful that He can do that He can keep this pea-sized planet from being scorched to death by a monster sun, if He can keep the sun a million times bigger than us from turning us into crispy critters 24/7, 365, if God can do that, you don't think God can handle your algebra class? And your son's drinking problem? And your grandson who tells you that he's a girl? And the PET scan you had at the doctor's office last week? If God is so loving and merciful and so powerful, He can hold not only that son, but a trillion more like him in the palm of His hand. If God can take care of those things, you don't think God can take care of everything else? You don't think a God that loving and that merciful and that powerful, when you cry out to Him, you don't think He will hear you? You don't think that He'll help you? Oh, we of little faith. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The number one thing he wants to steal, kill, and destroy in you is your faith in God. And we are living in a day when we are seeing all kinds of Christians cave on every side. You read it in the news. Your faith is the most precious thing you have, and without that faith, it is impossible to please God. So we're just going to take a moment right here and we're going to pray for that one thing that you need help with the most. How do you need God to help you the most right now? Maybe it's something with your family. Maybe it's something with a friend, something with finances, something with your health, something with your marriage or your kids. You say, Kevin, my situation is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You say, but Kevin, I prayed about it before, and God didn't do anything. That's because it was the right thing. It just wasn't the right time. Today is the right time. There's some of you sitting here right now, you need to pray for salvation because you don't know Christ as your Savior. You need to confess your sins to God. You need to put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to save you from your sin. You need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Savior of your soul. How do you need God to help you right now? Lord, we come to You today, every single one of us. Every single one of us has this private prayer request in our hearts and our minds that You have placed there. And Lord, we may have prayed about this a million times before. We are praying again because we believe, Lord, that there is absolutely nothing that You cannot do. And You have called us and invited us to pray. Just thank You, Lord, for Your restraining power that keeps us alive on this little planet Earth. We know, Lord, that there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing impossible for You. And Lord, whatever answer You give today, we will accept it and we will keep believing and trusting. Right now, Lord, we take that request and we just speak it before You and before Your throne right now. And Lord, we trust and believe with all of our hearts, with faith, simple childlike faith, Lord, that You will meet that request according to Your will and according to Your own time. Increase our faith, Lord. Teach us to pray. All this we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.